thankful we can greet one another in the precious name of Jesus. He is the one that draws us closer together as a congregation and as the great church triumphant we sing about today. I'd like to look over, if you want to follow along with us, into Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. And I'd like to start reading at the sixth verse. I started to read this chapter the other day, and I got down to verse 11, and it just sort of hit me. And you think about it. We'll get down there in a moment. Paul said to them, "To the end that you may be established." And think about that for yourself today. Shouldn't that be one of our greatest desires, that we can just be established in the Lord? And that was the end that he was wanting it to be for these people. And I thought about that, and I didn't get any further for a while, and I came back and read the rest of the chapter. But I'd like to start with the sixth verse of Romans 1. "Among whom are ye also, the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I believe we'll just stop right there. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to thee with thankful hearts again, that we can bow in thy presence together with thy children. And we've come, Lord, desiring for thy special help. Thou knowest that we're needy people, that each one of us have needs that only God knows. And we pray that thou wilt help us this morning and supply those needs according to thy great riches and glory. Help us, Lord, to learn to lean heavy upon thee, and help us, O Father, that each one of us might be established spiritually. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." Now I'd like to look over into Ephesians, and I'd like to start in the third chapter, Ephesians 3. And starting with verse 15. Ephesians 3, verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that is asked, that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There's a lot there, isn't there? You think about being established spiritually. We look around you and we think, well, the old saints, the ones that's been Christians for 30, 40, 50 years, these are the ones that are really established, aren't they? And yes, they should be. But I'm thankful we have some young Christians that are established too, that are an example, are examples to the believers. Young Christians that are conscientious young people, very sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And they search out the Word and see if this is right, if this is true. And then he says here, the main part of it is that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you become rooted and grounded in love, that you can get your spiritual roots down. And as you seek the will of God, and as you seek to know his will, to know him, like Paul said, I don't care about the fancy speech and about all these other things he said, but that I might know him. All these other things, the learning, throw it all on the trash heap. But let me know Jesus and him first. He's the one that I desire to know above everything. And here he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. And if we want to be established, if we can know that he abides. He abides. The old song says, hallelujah, I have found him, the one that so long had craved. And now that he abides within their heart, Jesus abides there. And that we can get our spiritual roots down and grounded and rooted in the faith, that we can start comprehending, he says here, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's what you call spiritual maturity. That's growing spiritually, and as you grow spiritually, you can have more of all of the wonderful fruits of the Holy Spirit. More of the love and more of the joy and more of all the things that go with it, humility, that we might know him. And to know him, we've got to have fellowship with him every single day, starting in the beginning of the day and maybe the night hours. You may awaken from your sleep, and it may be that it's a time that the Lord would lay someone on your heart that you could pray for, that one that's in spiritual need or in a danger some way, but that we might know him. We don't want just the mechanics. We don't want just to know the machinery. all some of these things have their places. But if we can know Him and have Him abiding within our hearts and allow Him to help us to get our spiritual roots down and the old self nature be crucified and surrendered entirely to God, then we can have what our soul desires. You can have all the weenie roast you want, which is fine. You can have all the ball games you want. That's fine too in its place. You can have a lot of other things, but they will not satisfy the spiritual need of the hungry soul. And a lot of churches have brought in all kinds of entertainment. They brought in all kinds of things to try to keep the young people. That won't keep the young people. But if the young people can know Him spiritually in their heart, to where that they can not just know that this is what Daddy and Mother has, but thank the Lord, this is what I have. I have come to know Him. And now I can find a place of prayer. Maybe it's a room off by myself where I can simply put my head down on the bed and cry out to the Lord and tell Him all about my needs and know that He hears me and that He will answer prayer. And that I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, but it's simply that you have given everything to Him, that you may know Him. And he said to the end, in the next chapter, he's in verse, let's just look, starting with verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The Lord has placed different people in different places to be an inspiration, to help us to grow spiritually. And if God has entrusted this to you, maybe just recently we had the reorganization and now we have new teachers with tremendous responsibilities on their shoulder as they stand before their classes and rightly divide the word, that the Word will find its place in each one of our hearts and that we can feed on the Word and that we can become encouraged by the Word of God. So there's evangelists and pastors and teachers and prophets and apostles. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. One of these days, if you and I stay faithful to the Lord, then our maturing will come to an end and eternity will begin and time will be behind us forever. And then it's like the river of life flowing down into the ocean of eternity. The river of life will come down through that time until finally we hit that great ocean of eternity. On the river there are banks. There are different things that could destroy us spiritually. But as we go out into the ocean of eternity with God, if we've given our all to Him, it opens up in the vastness of the love of God and the vastness of the grace of God, and what He's done for us is laid out before us in a way that we can't comprehend here. It's beyond our comprehension. But to come to that point when we're completely united with Him and a perfect man in the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then he went on to say here, he said, that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And you know, I thought of some people, why can't they grow up and be established spiritually? And it's probably because the company they keep sometimes, what they love, their love life, is mentioned in our class. We was thinking about what Paul said to them about this unknown God and you're too superstitious. And what is it in our life that is hindering us? I happen to see a little thing yesterday. I don't even know how I ran onto it, but it was talking about different pets that people have. In the physical realm, people, they love their little dogs, they love their cuddly cat, they love this and they love that. And they love them so much that some of them even take them to bed with them. So a child holding a little, I don't know what it was in their hand, a little fluffy dog. And they went to sleep with the dog, and the dog probably would just have soon been someplace else romping around rather than with this big arm around them, they couldn't move. And then it showed another person. They liked the, I don't know what it was, a big mastiff or something, a huge dog. And they had laid down, and they had their big mastiff, and they had their arm. This was their pet. And the poor thing, its eyes were bugging out, and they were asleep, and it couldn't go anywhere. But the thing that got my attention the most is must be this woman had, and I don't know the details to the beginning of the story, she must have bought this little snake about, I don't know how long it was when she bought it. It was a python. And if you know anything about them, I have seen pictures of them. They get to be big. I've seen pictures of them swallowing a deer whole, swallowing an alligator whole. I wouldn't be thinking it'd be too good to have a bedfellow like that. But this lady, she'd raised this up, and this was her beloved little python snake. And it showed in the picture here, it wasn't little anymore. It was all laying around, and she was sound asleep. And it was big now. If you would have stretched it out, I don't know how long it would have been. Would you like to sleep like in that kind of a circumstance? This was her friend. This is what she loved. What do we love spiritually? Is it like a snake in bed with us? Is it like a deadly python? I've seen pictures of these things. They would actually go down and quickly wrap themselves around an alligator. He's just like he's tied up and he can't do anything. And then they start from one end to the other, and I can't remember which way. But they start in, and their mouth just expands and expands and goes right over and then goes right on down, and you can see the parts of the alligator sticking up, and finally it covers it. And then it just lays there and enjoys its dinner and supper and breakfast and dinner and supper for a long time. You know, that's the way sin is. It starts out a lot of times like just a little thing. Just a little thing. But if you want to become established spiritually, you want to be rid of all the snakes in your bed, spiritually, I'm speaking about. Any of those little things that seem so insignificant. Oh, for a closer walk with thee. Those old songwriters, they didn't want anything to do with the flesh and the world and the devil. They wanted all that God had for them. And I believe they got rid of those little things that were hindering them. You know, if you want to find out, just pray and ask God to show you. Are there any weights, any besetting sin, anything that's hurting me spiritually? Write them down. Don't forget them. The devil would like for you to forget them. Procrastinate. Get rid of this thing another day. Deal with it another time. But, you know, all of a sudden this lady, she found out that this big python snake that she was laying down, and this was her thing, I don't know how long she'd had it. It wasn't eating anymore. I don't know if you can guess the end of the story, but anyway, it wasn't eating anymore. She couldn't get it to eat. It had always been healthy, always eating. She took it to a veterinary, and he checked it all over, this beloved snake of hers. Some of you, that just puts creeps up and down the backbone, probably. But the veterinary checked it all over, and he asked her questions about it. You know, where did you get it? What are you doing with it? Where's it staying? Found out it's sleeping with her and all this kind of thing. And he said, this is a very dangerous snake. Did you know that? Well, she should have. When it was about that long, it probably couldn't have swallowed her whole. But when it's from that wall to that wall, it probably could. And the veterinary said, you know the reason it's not eating? It's probably sizing you up and planning you are its next meal. You know, these big lines that people stick their heads in and everybody claps and roars. And then all of a sudden one of them doesn't do the right thing and just like that. And this little snake became a big snake. Or these little weights, these little besetting sins, these little things of, oh, everybody does it, don't worry about it. But what do we want? Just a nominal Christian life? Or do we desire that, oh, that the Lord would give me that closer walk with the Lord? May the Lord help each one of us to desire the very best. And don't let old Satan come slipping in the midst just about so long and looks pretty insignificant, like he won't do anything. Let me tell you, he is very dangerous. And he's looking for his next meal. May the Lord help us. Let's kneel in prayer.